praise God. The title of the message this evening is The Word Became Flesh. You are healed. The Word became flesh. You are healed. Amen. Praise God. You've heard me share before that we are in a special season. We're in a time the Lord has ordained as his glorious triumph, and it's not going to stop. It's going to actually increase and intensify. It's a time that the supernatural is going to be manifested in ways as never, ever before. And it's going to be done and demonstrated in the earth to and through and by the people of God that will yield to him, that will trust him and allow God to manifest himself in various ways, but also at times sovereignly by Almighty God himself. Praise God. To God be the glory. The word, these are some definitions for triumphantness, a triumph. It means to be victorious. When you think of somebody that's triumphant, they are victorious. It means to win. Remember, this is speaking of the body of Christ. This is how God sees us. It means to have victory. It means to overcome and to be a conqueror. I'm going to read some of those definitions again. This isn't all of it, but these are some. To triumph means to be victorious, to win, to have victory, to overcome, and to conquer. And the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always, say always, always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us, say by us, in every place. Amen. So that simply means that we are already triumphant in Jesus Christ, and we make the sweetness of his knowledge of things that concern him wherever we go. Or that's what the body of Christ should be doing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for his word. Amen. The Word of God wants his people to grab a hold of it, and it's time for the body to realize who we are in him, and we are everything that God's Word says, whether, you know, somebody agrees with that, whether it looks like it, whether you feel like it, we are what God's Word says. Amen. And he wants us to realize we can do what his Word says we can do. And it's time to walk in it and to do it. And he wants us to realize that we have a great inheritance, greater than any unsaved person on this earth. We have so great an inheritance in this life, but especially in the life to come. We are heirs of Father God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's something really, you know, for us to be excited about. To be triumphant, I want you to remember this, to be triumphant, to be victorious, to be a conqueror, to overcome, means that you have to have something to a battle to be victorious. Amen? Amen. When you think of someone that goes to war, if they come back triumphant, that means that they went to war and they won the battle. So if this is the year of God's glorious triumph, it doesn't mean that we're going to be free from obstacles, free from trials or tests or battles. It may even intensify. But God wants us to realize that they don't come to destroy us, but it comes to so that we can grow more like him and so that we can be victorious over whatever it is. Be triumphant. This is the year that God is moving for the body of Christ as never, ever before. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil doesn't like it because he knows it. You know, so if you feel like, well, you know, I'm going through it as never before, then just thank God. Lord, I thank you because I must be doing something right. Or the enemy would not be upset. Amen. Praise the Lord for our victory. Praise God. You know, as I was preparing the word, I thought of, and I'm sure all of you have seen at some point in time on television, maybe even in person. I know one time I went to the relays up in Philadelphia when I was in high school, so I had an opportunity to see this in person. But have you ever seen people that leap over hurdles? They're hurdlers. So it's not that they are just runners, but they have obstacles that they have to, what? Leap over, right? to jump over. Amen. The more hurdles that they overcome, the more hurdles that they are able to jump over means that they are more successful. They are more triumphant. They're more victorious. Amen. And so just like those runners, they're not just running. We're not just running. We're not just in the race running. There are going to be things that are going to be put in our path that God wants us to not just fall down. Oh, I give up. I can't make it. This is just too. Nope. It's just a test. Amen. Only a test. And God wants us to realize that he's already equipped us to be victorious, to be triumphant. If we don't give up, if we don't cave in. Amen. Now, there are times that we have things that come into our life, and everything that comes in our life is not the devil. Sometimes it's a result of the choices that the individual has made, wrong choices, and looking at the, and I'm just going to speak right now in the area of health, but it applies in every single area. Say, for example, you know, it's cold outside, it's storming, raining, or whatever, and the person decides, well, I'm just going to have to walk to the bus stop. Well, I don't want to take time today to put anything on. I'm just going to run to the bus, and then the bus doesn't show up. So there they are, you know, soaking wet. And then they get a cold, and they get sick. They can't blame that on the devil. That was the wrong choice that that individual made, to not take the time to dress properly. Amen? Another example is not eating the proper foods. Just eating, you know, junk food, junk fast foods all the time. After a while, that has an effect on, I don't care who it is, that person's body. Arteries get clogged, and then the person, well, you know, I've got a high cholesterol, high blood pressure. Well, it was from wrong choices and wrong decisions somewhere along the line that the person made. Maybe it was when they were young, and now maybe they are, you know, young adults or middle age, and they've got the problem as a result of the wrong choices. So I use those just few examples to illustrate the fact that everything is not the devil. Some things are a result of choices that the individual has made that were not good choices. Now, that's not to discourage you, but it's to encourage you, because those things can be turned around if the word of God is applied and if the person does the right thing in terms of making right choices and not continuing on that wrong path. Looking at the other side of it, many times it is the enemy of our soul that is bringing the trials and the obstacles or the battles into a believer's life. And God wants us to realize that the enemy is coming for our tongues. He's coming to get the believer to not speak the word of God. He's coming to get the believer to blame God, to say anything and everything except what God's word says. Because he knows that if he can do that, cause a believer to be focused on the battle, be focused on the problem instead of God, then they won't be triumphant. So God wants us to realize that he is moving on his believers' behalf as never before. This is the year, and it's going to intensify, of God's glorious triumph. And he wants us to not get discouraged or give up when battles or whatever comes. Amen. And then when there are things that where the believers made wrong choices, to get it right. Amen. Praise God. And realize that, you know, yes, we are in a fight. And Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's already overcome. And he said, you know, he wants us to have peace. Peace he gives unto us. So he wants us to keep our minds and our hearts stayed on him. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John quickly. We're going to read this scripture together. How many love the word of God? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your word, Almighty God. Amen. Look at John chapter 16, and let's read verse 33 together. John, the Gospel of John 16, verse 33. Ready? Read. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So God's letting us know we all, you know, have to go in the world sometime. Isn't that right? And when you go in the world, you know, the world doesn't love your God. My God, the world, that most of them don't even know your God, don't want your God. And so there are going to be, you know, different types of tribulation. But God wants us to realize that we can have peace in him. The word of God says they that keep their mind stayed on me, that he will keep us in perfect peace. Why? Because we trusted in him. That's where our trust is supposed to be, in God and not man, not the world. Not even somebody's unsaved. Our trust is to be in Almighty God. Amen. And realize that tribulation comes. Jesus said it's going to come. But we can be of good cheer. He's overcome tribulation, letting us know that we are triumphant in him and that we can have the peace of God. Actually, we already have him because he is peace and he dwells on the inside of every believer. Amen. But we've got to walk in it. We've got to receive that peace that he has given to us. Amen. Praise God. The enemy of our soul comes, and his purpose is to get us to focus on the problem. Don't raise your hand. How many have had problems, or you might have problems right now? Don't raise your hand. Maybe it's a health problem issue. Maybe it's a monetary issue. Maybe it's a relationship issue. I mean, the list can go on and on and on and on. Maybe it's a struggle that you have, a bondage that the enemy has you bound with, where it's trying to get you into. Well, God wants us to realize that the key is to focus on him and his word. And I'm going to give you some keys in how to do certain things to get victory tonight. But realize that the purpose of the attack is to get God's people's plans to not be fulfilled, to get God's people focus off of God and on the problem. And say, for example, God has given his people eternal life. And the enemy's desire is to get a believer's focus on the problem or the issue so that eventually, hopefully, he would have that person to lose eternal life and receive hell in exchange. He wants the believer to make exchanges, wrong exchanges. Wrong exchanges. God has ordained and given the destiny for every believer to be a soul winner. And that means an active soul winner, not just praying, not just, oh, I'll just pray, you know, our church will be filled with soul. Nope. But he wants each believer to be active every single day, not just when you have evangelism, every day, just a lifestyle. The enemy would have a believer say, for example, if they're going through in the body, well, I'm tired, I can't do it. Or I'm sick, I hurt too bad. Just complacent. Well, that's not my job. I don't feel like it. It's not necessary. Somebody else will do it. So that person, whether they realize it or not, they have made a wrong exchange. And that's the purpose of the enemy. Whether it's in the area that maybe the attack is not coming in the area of health in your body. But if you're going through in your body, I mean, that's the way you're going to get victorious is to go forward. Because the enemy wants you to, you know, just lay down and, oh, I got to take this time. Nope. God wants you to become even more aggressive against the enemy. I'm telling you. That's how you defeat the enemy. That's how you hurt him. Amen. Bring damage to him and his kingdom. Now, maybe, as I was getting ready to say, maybe it's not, you know, area of health. It might be the area of, say, for example, being a living epistle. The word of God has ordained that every Christian be a living epistle. You say, Pastor Chris, what's a living epistle? A living epistle, an epistle is a letter. Paul wrote letters. It's the books of the Bible are referred to as letters. And these letters were written out to different churches. Now, God says that he has called his people to be living epistles. Epistles, letters that are read of all men. And so that means that the enemy wants that Christian to make an exchange, to not be a living or good living epistle for God, but he wants the believer to live a sloppy life. Well, that's not necessary. I don't have to do all of that. I can take a little snort. I can do a little this. I can do a little that. Live a sloppy life. Why? Because if they make an exchange, then those that are watching will say, well, you know, I live a better life than them. Because that person has made a wrong exchange. So God wants his people to realize that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, and to try to get God's people to make a wrong exchange. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But how many know that God said that we are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves? Amen? Amen. So it's up to each one to make the choice of choosing life. And when we do that, it causes that person to experience triumph, glorious triumph, in whatever area the enemy meant for harm. Amen. Praise God. And realize that he's after your tongue. He's after my tongue. That's what he wants. And he wants the tongue so the person can make a wrong exchange. Because when you start speaking the opposite of God's word, then what's going to happen? Before you know it, the body is going to be lining up with what the tongue is speaking. Amen. So the same is true when we speak God's word. Amen. Believers have a choice to make with the tongue in many, many areas. God wants us to have good testimonies. How many know that? Amen. And every time we have a glorious triumph, that gives us a testimony against the enemy. The enemy wants us to just have moanies. We're just moan and moan and moan. Oh, I just can't make it. I just can't come out tonight. I can't do this. Oh, moan, 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 moan. Complain, 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 complain. That's what the enemy wants. He wants moanies, not the testimony, but he wants moanies. God wants us to testify. He wants us to be fired up. Take the last part. He wants us to be fires. Praise God. Fires for him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your check came and it wasn't what you expected. And so, The first thing the enemy wants to say, well, what are you going to do? You can't do this. You can't do that. And he wants that to come out your mouth. But God wants us to fire up that devil. Amen. Put the word on him. Well, Lord, I thank you that you said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I have more than enough and plenty more in store. I thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, that my bank account's rolling over. I thank you, Lord God, that this and this and this is paid. God wants us to have a good testimony. Amen. Praise God. And as we do that, we will see situations change. I'm telling you, our tongue has so much to do with where we are right now and where we're going to be in future. Amen. So God wants us to not have moanies, but he wants us to have fires. Amen. Think about testify for Jesus. Fire that enemy up with the word. Amen. Praise God. And stick him. He hates the sword of the spirit. Praise God. Another thing, God wants us to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When a true prophet of God, man or woman, comes and gives a prophetic word, I'm telling you, the enemy hears it too. And many times the glorious triumph of that prophetic word doesn't come to pass because of wrong choices that the person decides, well, I'm not going to do that. And they know in their heart that's what they're supposed to do, and they don't do it. So God's not going to make you do anything, or me. He gives us a choice. And when a prophetic word comes forth, we already know it in our spirit, or you should. Amen. Say, for example, the area of healing. The prophet or prophetess might say, well, you know, the Lord's saying to you that you shall be delivered of thus, thus, thus. Maybe say what you're going through. And you will walk in health. You're going to be a person that's electrifying. You're going to have such health and strength restored. Well, what happens? We immediately think, oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And you think it's right now. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And sometimes it is. But I'm sorry to say, many times it's not. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in that time period, the enemy, he's going to do everything he can to get the tongue. Because he knows if he can get the tongue, that the body will follow. And he tries to get the tip, say, well, this isn't working for me. And many times the body, you may go through most times. Let me tell you, if you get a prophetic word or say, for example, with health, then you might, I mean, just come down just like that, sick as a dog. Well, sick. And so why? Because the enemy wants to get that word out of your heart and out of your mouth. He wants to start saying, well, yeah, that person didn't know what they were talking about. Yeah, I thought they said da-da-da-da-da. And the devil's just back clapping, just clapping, because he knows that he stopped the triumph, victorious testimony from coming forth out of your mouth. And he doesn't want you to change it. He wants you to keep on. And then he wants you not to believe that it was a true word of God. That's just how he is. Because he knows if he can get you to think that, then you're never going to see it. You're going to see what you say. Amen. So if you get a prophetic word from a true prophet of God, male or female, you grab hold of that. You speak that over your life. You pray it in. That's how it comes forth. You know, even Jesus. I mean, there were so many prophecies about Jesus from people who hadn't even seen him. But they were obedient to speak it out into the spiritual realm that he's coming. He's coming. They even spoke about where the Father God even said where he was going to be born. Bethlehem Ephratah. And this was hundreds of years. And they died without seeing it fulfilled. But they stayed in faith. And I'm sure that they received slack from saying things like that. From their peers, from other people. Probably called them crazy. But they believed God. And so God wants us to do the same thing. And sure enough, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin, just like prophesied. Did it make any sense? No. In the natural mind? Yeah, said, well, he's going to be born of a virgin. What are you talking about? A virgin can't have a child. You know, the prophet didn't know how to explain it. The prophet simply said what the Father said, told him to say. Or her. Amen. Praise God. Even like the, and I'll use myself, the pictures. You know, several years ago when God showed me, I was just obedient to do what he said, to draw them as best I could and to speak the word. I still do. And I had people, and I know you know, probably did too, say, well, you know, I don't believe in a rapture. No rapture. What are you talking about? And some still say that. But it was my job to be obedient to do what he said. And now there are other ministers that are coming forth. You know, God's giving visions and dreams, and they're saying the same thing. But before that, I had to choose whether to be obedient. Well, I didn't have to choose because I'm going to be obedient, Lord. And the same is true with you. When you get a prophetic word, you've got to make up your mind. Whose report do you believe? Amen. Because if you choose to give up, you know, and say, well, this isn't working, then that's what you're going to have. And this is the time of God's glorious triumph for those who will trust and obey and believe Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. The word became flesh. It was prophesied that Jesus was going to be born and that his spirit would become flesh. Does that make sense in the natural realm? No. How can a spirit become flesh? Well, that's God's job. To make it come to pass. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And God wants his word to become flesh inside of us. He wants his word. Say, God wants his word to become flesh inside of me. And what that means is that when God's word is flesh, it's one with you. It's one with me. It's alive. It's active. It's energizing. It's powerful. It's real. It's real and true whether the person ever receives it or not. Amen. Just like Jesus, when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, he took on flesh. God became flesh. God's word must become flesh inside of you and I. Maybe the word is flesh with you in the area of healing, but it's not in the area of finances. Or it's not, maybe you feel like, well, I've messed up so many times, I can never get it right. That's the devil. Then that word hasn't become flesh in you. So the word must become flesh in whatever area you need it to be flesh in. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about how the word of God can become flesh. Amen. I encourage you to write these down. These are not all the ways, but these are some of the ways that God's word becomes flesh in a believer. Amen. These are 8 ways. One way is to meditate on God's word. The word of God says that you want to have good success, then meditate on God's word day and night. Day and night. That's what Joshua was told, to meditate on the word day and night. Amen? Praise God. Make your way prosperous and have good success. Meditate on it day and night. Speak the word. The enemy wants our tongue because he doesn't want us to speak what God's word says. He wants us to speak anything that does not line up with the word of God. Somebody speaks something against your the word of God speaks about you. You don't have to receive that. Amen. Praise God. Plead the blood of Jesus on. Go about your business. Speak life over yourself. Amen. Praise God. Another way to cause the word to become flesh is to agree with the word. Agree with God's word. Amen. Number 4 is to live it. To live God's word. Amen. What God's word says, live it, do it. Amen. Another one, number 5, is to share it. Share God's word. What it says about you. Share it. And share it with someone that's not going to put you down. Share it with someone that's going to agree with the word. Amen. Maybe a person hasn't struggled with drugs, say, for example. And that person's believing that this is the year or this is the month I'm getting free from these drugs. Lord, I thank you that you came to set the captives free. I thank you, Lord, that of whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I thank you, Lord, I am free. I thank you, Lord God, that those drugs have no power over me. I thank you, I'm full of you speak the word. And you get around somebody, you speak it. You know, don't go, you know, to Bobo who was you were, you know, was helping you with it. Because Bobo going to try to get you back on it. You go to someone that's going to, oh, yeah, you can do it. You got the victory. Somebody's going to be praying for you, speaking life over you. Amen? If you don't have anybody, you got the Holy Ghost. You and the Holy Ghost are a majority. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And God will agree with you if you speak in his word. Amen. I can promise you that. Amen. Praise God. So share the word. Amen. And testify of it. Make, you know, testify. Testify. Pray it. Amen. Pray the word. And give praise and worship to God. Using the word of God. Praise and worship silences the enemy and it puts shackles on him. You praise and worship him. I'm telling you. Even when you're going through whatever battle it is, you praise and worship God. Amen. And I could, you know, I can go on and on, but the Holy Spirit will speak to you other ways. Amen. Praise God. Sowing seed. You know, being a giver. If you're going through, like I've shared on Sunday, go minister healing to somebody. Amen. That's sowing seeds in that area. Praise God. To God be the glory. Say, for example, if somebody has received a testimony, well, you only have 2 weeks to live. Nobody here in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And that person got to make up their mind. Whose report am I going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. And stand on good, excellent scripture, Psalms 118:17, I believe. And it says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Okay? Now, the devil doesn't want you to say that. The devil wants you every time that pain hits you, you know, oh, no, I can't make it. Oh, no, I only have, oh, countdown was 2 weeks. Now it's one. No. Lord, I thank you. I'm getting stronger and stronger every day. Before you get out that bed, sing praises to God. Be praising and worshiping him with the word of God. Make a song. Lord, I thank you I should live and not die. I thank you, Lord, that I declare the works of the Lord. I declare your word. And make it present tense. Don't say shall. Say I am. I do. Amen. And do it. The scripture says, I shall not die, but I shall declare the works of the Lord. Don't say shall. Do it. Start telling people, I am the healed of God. I walk in divine health. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to speak it out there. Amen. Prophesy over your life. Prophesy good things, the word of God. And don't let the devil get your tongue. And don't let somebody cause him to get your tongue. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A very good example of a person that, you know, sometimes we, you know, think about things that we face, but it's all in the word of God. So many people, they went through the things that we went through or going through or went yet go through. And an excellent example, you all know the story about Joseph. God had given him dreams and visions, had given him prophecies about his life. Just like you all, you know, not one person here has not received prophecy. Everybody here has gotten prophecies, good prophecies, but it's up to the person to do their part. Amen. So he had received prophecy. God has shown him, you know, he didn't understand it, but he believed God and he shared it with his family. And unfortunately, he had family that wasn't, you know, that was jealous people. And so they wanted to destroy him. They tried, they were, you know, plan was to kill him, but didn't they wound up selling him. Now, can you imagine how he must have felt? He's in a land that he doesn't know anybody, doesn't know language, and he has to make a choice. Well, am I going to let the devil have my tongue, or am I going to allow God's word become flesh in me? You say, you know, what do you mean flesh? How many have eaten chicken here before? Let me see your hand. Everybody? I know I enjoy chicken, right? Praise God. Chicken. That chicken, you know, is out running around somewhere, and then it, you know, it's caught and whatever it do to it, and then we have to cook it, right? Amen. Somebody cooks it. And then we eat it. We eat it, and it gives us strength and health and nourishment for our body. What happens to that chicken? It becomes one with us. Isn't that right? Amen. But it's got to become one with us. Amen. The meat that we have, you know, that chicken helped give it there, put it there, right? Praise God. That's just an example. Well, the same thing is true with the word of God. God wants his word to become one with us. That is so real. I mean, that it's just a part of us. If somebody, we don't have anybody named Carol here. We don't have anybody named John here. Am I not right? Now, both of those are good names. If somebody started calling you, say, Carol, 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 come here. You'd look at them like, my name isn't Carol. And they keep on insisting, come here, Carol. Come here, Carol. Come here, Carol. If they kept on calling you Carol, after a while, it would sort of bother you, wouldn't it? I'm sure you'd turn around and say, my name isn't Carol. And then if the person kept on calling you Carol, you really wouldn't like that. Why? Because you know that's not your name, right? Pastor Lewis might say, John, John, John. I'm sure Pastor Lewis is going to say, you eventually tell him, well, my name's not John. Well, the same thing is true. You know, God wants us to realize that just like we know what our name is, we need to have God's word a part of us more than we know our name. Our name is a part of us, right? Just like that chicken that you ate, whenever you ate it, right? Well, the same thing with the word of God. God wants that word to be a part of us. so that when battles or situations arise, that we know that we know that we know. Maybe you're going through and your body might be hollering out, kicking you, doing everything. But you know God's word is true. And you will speak the word of God. Amen. Even if the doctor shows you x-rays, gives a bad report, you're going to believe the word of God. And even though you sometimes, you know, we'll continue, we all the time say the word of God, sometimes things might get worse before they get better. It's only a test. Amen? Praise God. God wants us to realize that it's important for his word to be made flesh and that you are healed. You're healed already, spiritually, physically, financially, socially, emotionally, every arena. It's already taken care of. It's just a matter of us pulling it and having it manifested in our lives. And our tongue and what we do and don't do has everything to do with it. Same with Joseph. He had to make a decision. All these things were happening to him. He had battle after battle after battle. Hard battles. And he didn't have anybody that he knew to encourage him or to help him except God. Amen. He was in a culture where he couldn't even worship his God. I mean, you know, he couldn't go to a synagogue or, you know, go somewhere because they worship idols. He was in Egypt, a strange land. Yet he chose to be the man of God, to be a living epistle right where he was. And as a result, he had favor. The man that owned the house, Potiphar, promoted him over all the people that were there, that had been there longer than him. He's just a young kid coming in there. I think he was 17. And he, you know, put him in charge of everything. And what happened? The wife came after him. Now, I mean, he's a young guy, so he's, you know, he's easily excited. He's got sexual needs and all that. But he said, let's read it. I can't do this wickedness. Turn to Genesis 39 quickly because we're about to finish up. Genesis 39. You know, because sometimes when we go through things, God's people think, well, you know, it's just me going through this. Nobody gone through this but me. This is hard, Lord. This is hard. But praise God. There are others before us, amen, that have gone through the same things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, Genesis, okay, 39. I'm going to start at verse 9. Everybody there? And verse 9 says, there is none greater, she was talking to this woman, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything from me. I mean, Genesis 39, verse 9. But thee, talking to the wife, because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Who is he concerned about? God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to love him and be fearful of him more than anything. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Amen. To God be the glory. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that, and I'm going to stop there. What happened? He made the right choice. He'd done the right thing. She lied on him. She cried rape. And he winds up in what? Prison. Yet God's word had become flesh in him. Even with all the battles, even with all the negativism, even with everything that happened to him, even when he was in the prison, God still promoted him, you know, to be in charge. But even when he was helping people, you know, they forgot about him. he interpreted the dream, and the man got out, and, you know, several years later, here he's still left. That had to be discouraging to him. You know, most times we don't have to wait that long or go through them as much as that he went through, but God still wants his word to become flesh in us and for us to make godly choices. If we want to see the prophecies, the word of God fulfilled. These words in here, this is our inheritance. These are prophetic words. But for them to come forth, we've got to do the things that I shared with you for 8 ways for God's word to become flesh. And there are other things as well, but we've got to do these things. We've got to agree with God's word, and we've got to speak it. And not let the enemy get our tongue. Can't be wishy-washy. Amen. And we got to make right choices. If you agree with that, can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. We've got to just do it. Just do it. Amen. I remember one of the person that had received a really good word from the Lord, and the person, these are true prophets of God, said, you know, God's going to give you such favor, just went on about the favor. Right after that, the person lost their job. And it was a young person, and, you know, so I've been encouraging that person not to blame God. So what happens? First thing, the flesh is going to say, well, that person wasn't really a prophet of God. But that person didn't know what they're talking about. And if you're not careful, the person doesn't realize you're not blaming the person, you're blaming God. So you have to realize that the enemy comes for the tongue. The enemy comes so that the prophetic word will not come forth in a believer's life. And even if the word says, you know, you are to do such and such and such and such, many times it's right now, not for later down the road. And the person decides, well, I don't want to do that. That's not convenient for me. That's my time. That's eating up my time. Then it's not going to come past. Don't know. Maybe down the road, God's going to have you to be over some great ministry in that area that you're called to. But you're not faithful with the little things. God says, don't despise small beginnings. Be faithful where you are. I preach the same way to one person as I do to thousands. Ask Pastor Lewis. Isn't that the truth? Amen. And God wants us to be faithful where we are. Amen. That's how God opens doors and promotes a person. You know, because it's all about faithfulness. Amen. And obedience to God. Praise the Lord. Where we are. Where we are. Amen. So that it's important to do the word. Allow the word to become flesh with us. Just do it. Amen. Say, just do it. Just do it. Amen. Let's not just do it. Amen. That means it's going to be comfortable all the time, but just do it. Amen. Allow the word to become flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. You are healed in every area, spiritually, financially, socially, emotionally. You're healed. Amen. Praise God. That's what God's word says. And that, I mean, that should settle it. Amen. Praise God. We're going to close with this. Turn to, this was one of the scriptures that was read today. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to read it together. Amen. Everybody there? Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Ready, read. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Keep that in mind. Jesus became flesh. The Spirit of God took on flesh. God wants his word to become one with you and his body as a whole and become flesh. Knowing that God is faithful. If he said it, that settles it. If it's not being manifested, either it's not the time, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, and continue in doing it because it will come to pass, or there's something that is not being done. Either you're not allowing God's word to come forth through your tongue. You're not making right choices and the different things that we've talked about. It's pure and simple. Amen. So as each one, I encourage you to allow God's word to become flesh because you are healed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word of spirit and resurrection life. I thank you, Father, that this word has become flesh in each and every one. And whoever hears this tape, Lord God, or sees this DVD or video, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon it and that each one's life will be touched and changed and taken higher in you. I thank you for your people having a made up mind to just do it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. And for each one's good, in Jesus' name. Can church say amen and amen? God bless you. Give God a clap offering for his word. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. Praise.